It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to the first ever Wayne's Comics podcast. To start off with, let me catch you up on just a little bit of history. I started helping E&M Cullen out on both the Sci-Fi Pulse website and podcast several months back, and we've discussed having a separate comics podcast for a long time. But first, Wayne's Comics used to be a segment in the weekly Sci-Fi Pulse podcast. Then recent changes forced the program to evolve into the SFP Now podcast. We went from a live online radio program to a pre-recorded, tighter format. And it was during my talks with Ian about where we'd like to go that the notion of spinning Wayne's Comics out into its own podcast as part of the SFP Now family came back. And so, Ian, thanks for the chance to go solo. It's literally a dream come true for me. So just who is Wayne? Well, I'm a longtime comics fan. In fact, the first thing I ever read was a Batman comic. There was only one period of time when I dropped out of comics, and that was during the era when Superman had his Supermobile, Spider-Man had his Spider-Mobile, and Doc Ock wanted to marry Aunt May. Bleh. The New Teen Titans comic by George Perez and Marv Wolfman drew me back in, and Perez remains my favorite artist to this day. So what'll we do during Wayne's Comics? Well, we'll talk about comics, of course, including recent releases, some classic comics worth checking out, and we'll even venture into the wacky world of comics-related items, which means anything you might find in your local comic shop, which is always an entertaining place to go. So let's get started.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands. And now, another exciting episode.
If you've been reading my comics portal columns on scifipulse.net, you've probably noticed pretty much that I'm a big old DC Comics fan. I talk about them quite a bit, and that's why on Thursday the column's called DC Comics and Beyond. I do want to really mention something that DC's been doing since the beginning of the year, and that is these little mini posters with the white backgrounds that are on most of DC Comics. One of my very favorites came out this week, and it's done by Tony Daniels, who is writing and drawing the Batman comic. And I really liked his drawing of Batman on the cover of number 706, which is the most recent one that came out. As much as I like Paul Dini as a writer, Batman Streets of Gotham didn't do very much for me. I think that story is kind of plodding along. But there are the Justice League of America number 53. Mr. Bagley's not long for that comic. He's heading over to Marvel and making quite a public show of it. But this is, I think, the last issue before we get into Eclipso. So I kind of like the what they're doing on there. Mr. Robinson's doing a good job of writing that. So it's a pretty good one. Another comic I think that's really worth buying if you're interested in a good story is Power Girl. Judd Winnick, who is also doing the Justice League Generation Lost comics, is doing a really good job of fleshing out the story. There was a lot of trepidation when he took over the comic in issue number 13, but he's doing a really good job of telling her story. And Power Girl has always been sort of a Supergirl. So, you know, doing something with her character and making her unique is something that's, I think, really necessary. So Mr. Winnick is doing a really good job on Power Girl, and I really like that. If you're not buying Power Girl, I would really recommend it. I just mentioned Supergirl, but the Supergirl comic number that came out recently, number 60, is a quite a strong one. This one is in transition. But this particular issue is a good one. It's setting up a confrontation in the next issue, so I would recommend that. I talked in my latest column about how disappointed I was with the Young Justice number zero. I love the animated series. You're going to see my review on at scifipulse.net about the, there's a new episode of Welcome to Happy Harbor that came out. Young Justice number zero, which, and I always hate comics that are named zero. It can't be possible. You know, there's no such thing as a number zero comic. So when Young Justice number zero came out, I was already in a bad mood, I suppose. But what really bothered me was that they altered Fireworks, the second part of the hour-long premiere for the show on the Cartoon Network. What they did was, they, instead of having Batman right away knowing what he's going to do with them and using them as a covert team, what they, what he does is he says he needs 3 days to figure out what to do with them. Why does he need 3 days to figure out what to do with them? That really sort of, you know, struck me as really rough. Now what happens, of course, is that Kid Flash and Superboy go off and sort of hang out. And, of course, they get involved in a trying to stop a duo of super teens who are wrecking a mall. But the thing, another thing that really bothered me was, instead of Kid Flash going back and getting their costumes, he just sort of ties handkerchiefs to the front, to the face of him and Superboy. I didn't get that either. If he's such a fast kid, he should have been able to go and get their costumes and make it so that they could actually, you know, take care of things looking like heroes. So that kind of bothered me about it. I think the art's still pretty good. I think the show is going to be really good. So I would definitely say, you know, sort of ignore the Young Justice number zero, but go on and buy the other things, yeah, the other issues, because I'm sure that comic will get better as it goes along. Blackest Night was such a huge event in 2010, and 2011, Brightest Day is sort of rolling over into it, and two comics came out recently, part of the Brightest Day experience, and one of them is the Green Lantern Corps number 56. Very interesting story with Sinestro showing up, and all kinds of wild and woolly things that are happening in that comic. I don't want to get into too much detail, because I think Green Lantern Corps and the Green Lantern books are sort of a self-contained event. So I think that, it's, of course, it's always worth buying. Tony Bedard, who has really proven himself as a great team writer in team books, like Rebels and things like that, he has really done a great job with Green Lantern Corps as well. So buy Green Lantern Corps. But the book I really want to talk about, of course, is Brightest Day number 18. Of course, the cover has Hawkman and Hawkgirl on it, and I've always enjoyed the Hawk characters. And so I think that the fact that they're getting a lot of play in that in the comic. But of course, Geoff Johns revived Hawkman several years ago. Hawkman was a muddled mess of continuity. He was just a disaster area. Nobody could figure out what to do with him, and so everybody had their shot at him. You had Tim Truman's Hawk World, which was based on Thanagar, and you had them wearing sort of mechanical wings instead of the more natural ones that they had before. You've had all different kinds of people doing all different kinds of things with Hawkman, and it was just such a mess that DC Comics, when Geoff Johns was doing Justice Society, they said to him, look, you can have Hawk Girl, but you cannot have Hawkman, because he's just so badly mangled that there's no reason to put him in there. And of course, Geoff Johns, well, okay. And he did such a good with Hawk Girl that it wasn't long before DC Comics came along and said to him, well, gee, how would you like to do a Hawkman comic? And I had a chance to talk with him back in his pre-popular days. He was at the Baltimore Comic Con, and he said his response to DC Comics when they wanted him to do a Hawkman comic was, well, gee, you twisted my arm. He promptly went in and totally straightened out all this mangled continuity, all these reincarnations of things that were going on, you know, because Hawkman had been in Egypt. Made all this stuff a wonderful, wonderful experience to read. And now he's having fun with them in Brightest Day, in the fact that in the current comic, what's happening is that someone has come along and says that Hawkman and Hawkgirl cannot be together, which, of course, is just a way to elongate their experience, you know, is to have conflict with them. The sad thing is that it's so hard to have happily married couples in comics. You know, one of the notable exceptions is Superman and Lois, but even in the current comics, Superman's doing this dreaded walkabout while Lois is still trying to be a reporter. There is one more thing I think that bears mentioning about DC Comics and something that they've started since the beginning of the year. I've noticed a serious decrease in the amount it takes me to buy my comics every week. And that's because DC really has been very serious on lowering the price from $3.99 per issue down to $2.99. I have a lot more when I get to the cash register that are $2.99 than are $3.99 than I used to. I used to really think that what was going to happen was that everything was going to go to $3.99 because in the past, there's never been a decrease. There's always been an increase. And I remember way back when they used to be 12 cents an issue. And now they went up to $3.99, and that's a lot for a comic. You know, but the truth of the matter is they've drawn the line at $2.99, as I like to say. And they have this great little poster with Green Lantern being the one drawing the line, which is a great way to plug the upcoming Green Lantern movie. But I really think that DC has done a smart thing. It's very, very smart to hold the line on the cost. Because, you know, this economy has not been tremendously improving, you know, as much as I would like it to. And I don't think it's going to improve for some time to come. So we need our hard-earned dollars, and DC has been very nice in actually saying, we're going to let you keep your dollars. And, of course, what a lot of us will do is just channel it into experimenting with some other books that we haven't read. So way to go, DC. I'm really happy with what you've done with that. Let's also mention a couple of other comics that came out this past week that I thought were really enjoyable. I always get a huge kick out of Darkwing Duck. That is just the craziest thing, you know. I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the classic rock band that refuses to stop touring. Those kind of things just keep me reading Darkwing Duck. I'm glad it's an ongoing series. One thing that came to an end was a comic that was related to Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? It's called Dust to Dust, and number 8, which is the final issue, came out. It's really an interesting thing about how they've this sort of tied into what's happening in the main book. It's the humans have to interact with the androids, and some of the androids still have the notion they need to protect humanity, while others do not. And what we come to find out is that there's a group of androids who particularly want to outlast humanity. They want to be the last ones on to survive on Earth. And so they're going about doing everything they can to kill as many humans as possible. But one of the androids that is determined to stop them is after them pretty well. Then also Stan Lee's Soldier Zero, number 4, came out, which is written by one of my favorite writers, Paul Cornell. We're coming to find the battle between the armor and the soldier inside of it is quite an interesting one. And neither one wants to give up really easily. So these comics are ones I think that also deserve your attention. Okay, let's talk a little bit about an up-and-coming star as writers go in comics. A gentleman by the name of Nick Spencer. I first became acquainted with him when he started doing Thunder Agents for DC, and he's doing an interesting sort of Watchmen-esque take on them. I like what he's doing with them, and when I started to realize who he is, I began to look around and see what else he had written. He's written a comic that's called The Infinite Vacation that I really like. It's a creator-owned property from Image. And basically the story is about what happens if you go on vacation but you don't want to come home and you could just pay to stay there. And even better yet, it's a digital vacation. So in your head, you're just on vacation no matter where your body is. It's an interesting story because when you start to run out of money, things don't go as well for you. And I like the concept of that. So that book has really caught me. Mr. Spencer was involved in Supergirl number 60 that just came out. And I liked what they're doing with that, the idea of using an application on iPhones that would track down heroes. And villains actually took advantage of this information to attack them. It's called Flyover, and I just thought, as somebody who owns an iPhone and is used to apps, I found that quite interesting. Also, another book I know that people are really enjoying is called Morning Glories. It's about an academy for leaders of the future, and we're trying to see what they're going to do with the world. And it turns out that they're not all necessarily good guys and good women. So it's a very interesting book. I was kind of turned on to it at one of the local bookstores about it. It does make interesting twists. And one I recently bought the graphic novel for Forgetless, which is another one of his stories that he's done for Image. It's about a nightclub that's the biggest party in New York, and now that it's ending, two of the people who have gone there, they're models who have turned professional killers, and boy, don't you hate it when that happens. They want to make sure that it goes out with a bang. So that's, I haven't read that one yet, but I'm dying to read it. I thought a little background on Nick Spencer would be kind of helpful. He was into politics, believe it or not. I didn't know that Robert Kirkman was also a Democratic aide who'd worked for a Democratic congressman. But Nick Spencer was in Ohio, and he was part of a different party called the Charterite Party, and it was in Cincinnati. He ran for city council and didn't make it. He's done, tried to do all kinds of things there, and nothing seemed to work, so he ended up going to New York. Now, he had actually pitched stories to D.C. and other places, so it was not a surprise that he went back to comics and tried to figure out what was the best thing to do. I got a huge kick out of the fact that he's writing for Marvel and for Image and for D.C. He's doing Iron Man 2.0, which is a War Machine comic. He's also taking, like I said, he's talking about Thunder Agents, which is I enjoy, and he's got other projects in the hopper for Image. So I think he's a character, a writer who I think we're going to want to watch as time goes along. He's just now starting to move up in the world. So if you haven't bought any books by Nick Spencer, you probably will be in the future. He's if you see his name on there, I would pick it up. We're probably going to start seeing him at conventions. He's already attended New York Comic Con. My hope is that he'll come to Baltimore, because that's where I'll want to go. And so look out for Nick Spencer. He's definitely on the way up. I wanted to mention a new trend that's coming along, too, that I'm kind of enjoying. There's a lot of fantasy-style books that often have women as the prominent character or the lead that are coming out in kind of a book format instead of a comics format. Now, a couple of really important examples, I think, are Amulet, which is printed by Scholastic. That is, it's a hardcover, and yet it's a comic. And it's about a girl who is inherited magical powers that has been handed down in her family. And her father was killed at one point, and she and her family are trying to survive and go along real well. It's a very interesting story of sort of a coming-of-age thing. She's got, anthropomorphic fox that's a helper, and she's got robots that's also helping her. So it's kind of an interesting little book. Another book along the same line is a book called Brody's Ghost. This one, Amulet is full color. This one's actually black and white. And the story of Brody's Ghost is a guy named Brody who's sort of a loser, and he comes across a female ghost who wants to stop her murderer. And so Brody has to go into training under a samurai ghost, and it's all sort of extensive stuff. It's kind of funny to watch how they interact and how things develop. It's going to take a while, I'm sure, to resolve the issue of the murderer. But we've already gotten book number two. This is printed by Dark Horse. And I like it. I think it's a pretty good story. I think this is the kind of way, if you want to get people into comics, you might want to give them Brody's Ghost or Amulet. Or another one that's come out is called Three Thieves, Book One, The Tower of Treasure. It's done by Scott Chandler, and it is published by a company called Kids Can Press. And if you read the story, honestly, there's a lot of mature things going on. I don't necessarily that this is a child's book. The main characters are a red-headed girl who goes by the name of Dessa, and she is an athlete in a circus. But she's got two friends, a little blue gnome-like character and a great big sort of purplish hulking guy, and they actually go along and commit crimes in order to get food. But Dessa's brother was killed, and she's trying to find out more about it. So they go along. They actually end up in the city where the rather obese queen, who gets pushed around by handmaidens in a cart in a chair with wheels on it because she's just way too fat to stand on her own. And she's got people working for her, and they discover a map to break into her treasury. And of course, they get caught. And she's still on the mission, the Odessa is, to be able to find out what happened to her brother. So the three of them, because they haven't been able to get food for the circus, they're kicked out, and they have to go on this mission together. And that's where sort of the first book ends. It's a lot of fun. It's nice art and very entertaining story. I would say if you're trying to get somebody, maybe a younger person, to read comics, that these trade paperbacks or hardcovers are aimed more for the preteen and teen era, I would give them a real good look at and maybe hand them off to them and see what they think. And now, let's see what else is in your local comic shop this past week. There's a couple of things of real interest, including a DVD that's titled Batmania, Comics to Screen. It's only about $10, so it's probably easily worth your money. On the action figure front, there's several different action figure sets that are in this week. You've got the DC Heroes All-Star Batman action figure, and the DC Heroes All-Star Deathstroke action figure is in. But the action figures I think that are going to really warrant our attention are these two sets. The Tron Legacy figures are finally there. I mean, how long has the movie been in the theater? And now, finally, the action figures are arriving in the comic stores. They got to get that a little better. They got to do those things a little bit better. Also, there's a bunch of Muppet figures. The Muppets are always a big favorite of mine. They're always entertaining. They are just free to do whatever they wish. They enjoy themselves, and because they do that, we do it too. And I always liked when Kermit introduces someone, he's so excited he's got to flap his arms, you know, his hands are flapping, you know, when he does it. And speaking of Kermit, he's one of the $40 figures that are out from Disney Traditions. It's Kermit the Frog is one, Animal the drummer is another one, also the voluptuous Miss Piggy is yet another figure. And I guess the two of them were joined at the hip anyway, so they're putting Statler and Waldorf together as one figure. So I think the action figures are probably worth a lot, which is a good thing. With Green Hornet in the theaters, there's the Black Beauty die-cast vehicle. There's two different versions of it. One's the movie version, and one's the TV version of the Black Beauty. Oh, I gotta have that. I truly love the Black Beauty. When the show was out in the 60s and I watched it, I just thought it was the coolest looking thing. It's they've roughed it up a little in the Green Hornet movie, but I still like the look of it. The Black Beauty is just, I guess I'm just a car aficionado. I love the Batmobile. I thought the Batmobile was the best thing about the Batman TV series in the 60s. Really the only thing in the Batman 60s series with Adam West that I really liked. So, but if you see the Black Beauty, boy, I would recommend getting that. I love that car. I really, really do. Lots of Warhammer stuff's coming in too. There's a guide for the Warhammer games. A bunch of game mastering things. Recently, and I guess to make your collection of Superman Earth 1 complete, they put out a Superman hoodie. So now you can pretend to be Superman on Earth 1. Well, also there's the Flash hoodie has come out, which I don't get that. I guess it's just that's something to buy and something to wear. So you've got your hoodies, your Superman hoodie and your Flash hoodie. All kinds of good things going on. There's a bunch of apparel that came out that's kind of interesting. A lot of knit caps. I guess during the winter it's a good idea, but you know it's a little almost too late for that. You've got the Batman pop cuff knit cap. You've got the Captain America pop cuff knit cap. I guess that's a good one. The two of them together they do sort of make sense together. There's a Green Lantern knit cap that's also out. And if there's any other ones, they don't have, well, they do have Spider-Man and they do have Superman knit caps out there. So your winter apparel won't be complete until you get your knit caps with your favorite superhero on them. So you'll often find a lot of shirts and things in local stores. Some places have more extensive collections to sell than others, but it's kind of fun to have those. I usually wear these kinds of things when I go to a local comics con or a Star Trek or science fiction convention. When you walk around the hallways with that, you don't get the strange looks you do when you wear it to work. I used to, for a while, on Fridays, which is supposed to be casual day at work, used to wear a comics-related t-shirt, but people always ragged on me for that. I don't know whether it was just me or what, but for some reason, comics-related clothing didn't go over at work. So I stopped doing that. Other people do it occasionally, but I just wear the regular stuff on Friday. Saves them for the conventions, and which we call cons, by the way. Those of us who go to conventions can't be bothered to say the whole word. We just say con. So if you go to hear someone talking about a con, it's not that somebody's trying to rip you out of money, although that could be part of what a convention's about. But you've got to understand they're talking about a convention. One other thing, too, I think there's a couple of t-shirts. There's a black t-shirt of Spider-Man Blue. I think the series that came out several years ago is out. And I think that's pretty much all the good stuff that came out recently. If you get a chance, stop by your local comic store. If you've got some extra shekels to shed, you can always go in there and find out what kinds of good things they have. And I think you'll find something that you'd like to have. There was a store I used to go to down in the Orlando, Florida area, and the guy used to always greet you when you walked in the door. He would ask you, "What can't you live without?" And the notion was he had something in there that you would desperately want, and so you had to have it, that was such a cool thing. I always get a kick out of people who run stores because they have to be salespeople, and I would die. I'd be a lot thinner than I am if I had to sell stuff for a living. So what can't you live without when you get to your local bookstore? And that's a wrap for the first ever Wayne's Comics podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. In the future, you might also find that I'll have some interviews and even bring some other comics fans on to help me discuss what's going on in comics. But until then, keep reading your comics.
So I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.